All the scriptures that we'll be looking at today. In any case, why don't you have your green bulletin open to the centerfold? There's some verses, most of the verses that we'll be using today are there. So glad that you're here today, and we want to ask God's help as we come to His Word. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that as we come to your word, which is a spiritual book, that your Holy Spirit would give us understanding of something that we would not understand without him. Open our hearts to the truth. May we believe it and walk in it. We pray for Jesus' glory. Amen. Well, the title of this morning's message is, Does Doing Good Count? Nolan and I were on the beautiful island of Guernsey. We'd evacuated from Africa. It was a medical evacuation and we'd had to leave very fast. And it became plain that we were going to need to return to Australia. But because we had left Africa suddenly, I had to leave Nolan in Guernsey, get back to Africa, pack up all our household goods into a container and then meet Nolan back in London. Getting on the plane back to Gambia was a challenge. Finally, I got a standby seat, first class, mind you, for less than normal economy airfare. All right, first class was something that I could stand, more leg room, comfier chairs and little gifts, some of which I kept for years. Yeah, I could stand flying first class, but I knew I didn't deserve to be there. I looked around at some of the other first-class passengers, you know, businessmen in their suits and looking very official. There were a few that you wouldn't have known they had a penny to their name. Anyway, I knew I was financially out of my class. I got a cheap flight and I was cheated like a royal. Just a little gift from our Heavenly Father during a very tough time in our lives. Have you ever felt like you've been given something that you don't deserve? Funny feeling. You feel overwhelmed, puzzled, thankful, amazed, grateful. Some guilt like, why me? And you get all those kind of different feelings at once. Getting first class for less than economy airfare prices is trivial compared to a much greater gift. I don't deserve. Tim, who had a very similar experience to mine as far as airplanes were concerned and getting in first class when he shouldn't have been there, writes spiritually. He says, as a believer in Christ, I'm flying first class. I get the wonderful privilege of serving the Creator of the cosmos. But I also sense that I'm completely unworthy of it. I know my tendencies. My selfishness, my pride, I know that everything I have was given to me. What did I deserve to become a Christian? Well, nothing, he says. That's why I sometimes feel like a fraud. Deep down, I'm expecting someone to tap me on the shoulder and say, excuse me, but that's not your seat. But as Christians, it is our seat, for the Lord Jesus Christ has paid for it. There it is. Some people fly first class on planes by paying for it. They've worked for it. They have the money and I guess they deserve it. Some like me and Tim fly first class who don't deserve to be there at all. But how does it work when it comes to heaven? Are we somehow able to reserve a seat in heaven? Can we do enough good to deserve heaven? Or is there a bunch of people who get there who don't really deserve it? What do you think? If you were to stand before God and he were to ask you, why should I let you into heaven? How would you answer this morning? Well, does the Bible have anything to say on this subject? The Bible doesn't pretend to be an encyclopedia, but it does answer the issues of life and death. And of course, the Bible speaks on this subject. And I want to let God who wrote through men the scriptures give his answer today. There are two possible answers to the question, does doing good count? and we'll let the Bible comment on both. The first possible answer to the question, does doing good count, is no. No, doing good does not count in getting to heaven. Most people, when they first hear that doing good does not count in getting to heaven, are absolutely shocked. They're amazed that the Bible would teach such a thing. Doesn't every religion say what you've got to do to please God? Could anyone really please God by doing nothing? Doesn't God want us to do good? Yes, God wants us to do good, but doing good does not count in getting us to heaven. Let me show you that from the Bible. First, let me give you a Bible word. Doing good things in the Bible is often called good works, or works of righteousness, or works of the law, trying to obey the Old Testament law. In regard to good works, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Okay, let's establish first of all that those two verses are talking about being saved. Verse 8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." Those verses are talking about being saved. We might ask, saved? Saved from what? Well, a Christian is saved from God's wrath. A Christian is saved from sin, from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin, and ultimately from the presence of sin. A Christian is saved from outer darkness. A Christian is saved from unquenchable fire. A Christian is saved from God's righteous judgment. Now, when we think about God's righteous judgment, the scene, and it's explained to us in the Bible, the scene is called the Great White Throne. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11 says, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." If at all that is a real picture of the future, and it is, then any man or woman would want to be saved, surely, from that lake of fire. Talking to Christians, verse 8 and 9 says, "You have been saved." Saved from that lake of fire. When a drowning person is saved from the water, they're saved onto the dry land, or they're saved into a boat. When a Christian is saved from the lake of fire, they're saved to heaven. And the very next verses in the book of Revelation describe that place. Revelation 21 and verse 1 says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." So in summary, saved refers to being saved from hell to heaven, our eternal home. And verse 9 says, in regard to the way that a person is saved, listen, "not of works, lest anyone should boast." A person does not get to heaven by works. They do not get to heaven by good works or bad works or any kind of works. The things we do in this life do not count toward saving us to heaven. This is such an astounding truth, we might wonder if this was the only place that it was found in the Bible. But it is found over and over again. As Paul talks about God, he says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, He has saved us and called us with a holy calling. How? Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And again, Paul, writing about Christians, says in Titus chapter 3 and verse 3, For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Saviour toward men appeared, not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. We are not saved by works of righteousness. We are not saved by doing good. No, good living does not count in getting you to heaven. Not even keeping the Ten Commandments will get you to heaven. The Ten Commandments is just part of the law of God. You could try and keep the whole law, and still that would not count. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16 says, Knowing that a man is not justified or counted right by the works of the law. For by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified or counted right. Don't even try to get to heaven that way. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4 says, You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified or counted right by law, you have fallen from grace. So if you try to get to heaven by doing good, not only won't that work, but worse than it won't work, it'll actually be to your detriment, because then Christ will mean nothing. That verse again, Galatians 5 and verse 4 says, You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen for grace. Actually, if you think that you can keep the Ten Commandments, you've never really tried. Because if you even try to keep the Ten Commandments for a week, you realize that you can't make it. No one ever gets to heaven that way. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20 says, Therefore by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The purpose of the law, or those Ten Commandments, which is part of the law, is not to show us how to get to heaven. The purpose of the law is to show us that we're sinners that won't make heaven. Every man is seen to be a sinner because of the law. Not even the most righteous of men can make heaven by good works. I wonder if you could think of a righteous man. What about Abraham, who is revered by Muslims, by Jews, and by Christians? Surely he was a righteous man. But Abraham couldn't make heaven on the basis of good works. Romans chapter 4 and verse 2 says, For if Abraham was justified by works, that is counted right by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. No, Abraham's good works was not good enough to get him to heaven. Nor could the nation of Israel that followed him keep the law. There was no man who was able to do that. However, there was one man who thought he had it in the bag, but he did not. And that's the one that Justin read to you this morning. Matthew 19 and verse 16 talks about him. It says, Now behold, one came and said to him, Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Now, let me say, Jesus knew that you could not get to heaven by keeping the law. But he was trying to get this young man to see that for himself. So listen how Jesus dealt with this. So he said to him, Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. He said to him, Which ones? Jesus said, You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. We might notice that Jesus left some out, but anyway, they are a substantial number of the commandments. The young man said to him, All these things have I kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, and we need to be perfect if we're going to enter heaven, which is perfect, before a perfect God, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He knew he couldn't do it. He went away sorrowful because he had thought he had made the grade, and he had not. No one can. Most people think they will get to heaven because they've kept the commandments good enough. I'd like you to consider this interview. We've got a little video clip for you.
Can you name any of them?
Yes. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shall not. Oh, hold on. I know.
Yeah. You know a few.
Yeah.
Now, do you think you've kept those Ten Commandments?
Yes.
Have you ever told a lie?
Well, at some times, you know, most every human does.
So you broke that one. So what are you called if you tell a lie?
A liar.
Have you ever stolen?
No, sir, I haven't.
Even something really small. Be honest before God.
Well, I guess a little stuff. Like, maybe like a piece of gum or something.
Just a piece of gum. So what does that make you?
A stealer, I guess.
Thief. See, the value of the thing you steal doesn't make any difference. If I open your wallet and just take out $1, it's as bad as taking out $100. I'm a thief. Now, Jesus said if we look at a woman and lust after her, we commit adultery with her in her heart. You ever done that?
No, sir.
You ever looked at a woman with lust?
Well...
Your friend over there is laughing at you. He doesn't think you're speaking the truth.
Well, I mean, yes, I have looked at a woman, you know.
So you've told another lie.
Right? Yes.
So you've really blown it, haven't you? So you've broken three commandments. Well, I've only looked at three. We haven't looked at the other seven. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yes, sir.
So instead of using a four-letter filth word to express disgust, you've taken the name of the God who gave you life and used his name as a curse word, which is called blasphemy. So on Judgment Day, when God judges you by that standard, are you going to be innocent or guilty of breaking his commandments?
Oh, guilty of that one.
Do you think you'll go to heaven or hell?
Well, I think I'd probably go to heaven in the sense that's one thing that from now on I'll try to improve myself and that God might forgive me for the sins that I've broken from that.
So do you think God should let murderers and liars and thieves and adulterers into heaven?
I guess not.
So you're in big trouble. Really, you're heading for hell, aren't you?
Yeah.
Every year, athletes, swimmers, and other sports people break records. In other words, these sports people are improving on... efforts that were previously made. We can improve on the performance of others, but no man has ever completely kept the commandments of God. Because God's standard is perfection, every single one of us fails. We are all headed to hell, aren't we? Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." An antique in mint condition is worth a lot of money. I don't know whether you've ever seen that show on TV. Even ugly vases that I detest are worth thousands of dollars, apparently. But get one little chip on it, and the value drops dramatically. Similarly, if we keep the whole law of God and yet fail in one small point, we've broken the law. James chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all." So trying to get to heaven is like I've said many times, trying to swim to New Zealand. Some of us might get further than others, but none of us are going to make it all the way. The religions of the world believe that the good they do is enough. Although they are sincere, they are sadly wrong. Shoikai Yokoi served as a soldier in the Japanese Imperial Army. But when World War II ended, he hadn't heard about it. He was there in the jungles. And he stuck by what he'd been taught, never surrender. By subsisting on a diet of nuts, berries, frogs and rats, choice, and by weaving material for his clothing from bark, Yokoi stayed in the remote jungles of Guam until some hunters found him in January of 1972, more than 26 years after the war had ended. What a mistake. Yokoi was sincere, loyal and faithful to what he knew, but he was simply wrong. You may be sincere in believing good works counts for heaven, but sadly that is simply wrong. The obvious response then is, if good works doesn't count for getting you to heaven, what does? One word, faith. Works doesn't count, faith does. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." How are you saved? Through faith. Well, we might ask, what faith? Muslim faith? Buddhist faith? New Age faith? Faith in myself? Any faith? Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Belief in Jesus saves. The faith is in Christ. It was faith that saved Abraham, not his works. Romans chapter 4 and verse 3 says, "For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God." Believed God's promises. Believed in the Messiah who was to come. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. In other words, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as being righteous because of his belief. Was Abraham righteous? No. No man ever has been, except the Lord Jesus, of course. But he was counted as righteous because of his faith. And that is still true today. Anyone who will trust Christ will be counted righteous. Romans 5 and verse 1 says, "Therefore, having been justified or counted right by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We have broken God's law. We cannot attain heaven by our own works. But if we will believe that Jesus Christ died in our place on the cross, we will be counted as if we've never sinned. Therefore, seen by God as righteous, and therefore allowed into heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, verse 21 explains further, "For he made him," that is, God made Jesus, "who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." So in Christ, we are righteous. So a person can say, "I believe," and then just live how they like. Is that how it is? No, that isn't right either. Because saving faith, when a person truly puts their trust in Christ, that saving faith is transforming faith. The person is changed, and now they want to live a different life. Jesus gave this illustration, or James gave this illustration in James chapter 2 and verse 15. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, so they're starving and cold, and one of you says to him, "Depart in peace, be warm and filled," but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? So if you don't do good, what does it profit? The next verse says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Good works do not save. They do not count for heaven, but it is, good works are an evidence of a true saving faith that is in our life. The faith is what saves. No, doing good does not count in getting to heaven. If God were to say, "Why should I let you into heaven?" any answer that had to do with something that I had done, would be the wrong answer. Anything to do with what Christ had done in my place would be the right answer. I should answer God, I believe that Jesus Christ died in my place on the cross. I've trusted him. I don't deserve heaven, but I believe your promise that you would count me right if I put my trust in him. The second possible answer to the question, does doing good count, is yes, doing good does count for reward in heaven. Doing good does count for reward in heaven. Jesus, and by faith in Jesus, gets any man or woman, girl or boy, into heaven. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Good works doesn't count in getting you into heaven, but good works does count for reward once you are in heaven. Whilst all those who have rejected Christ or neglected Christ will stand before that awful white throne judgment and then be cast into a lake of fire, there is another judgment for those who have put their trust in Christ. The great white throne judgment is like a high court judge bringing down his gavel, his condemnation, and declaring guilt. That's the great white throne. The judgment of the saved is more like what happens in judging of the Olympics. Say we're there at the diving and someone dives off and the judges that are there, they'll hold up different scorecards according to what they think the performance was worth. So the judgment of those who don't know Christ is a judgment of condemnation and they're condemned to the lake of fire. But the judgment of the saved is a gain or loss of reward. This particular judgment is called the judgment seat of Christ. You have the white throne judgment of the unsaved, and you have the judgment seat of Christ for those who are saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about that. It says, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That is, the foundation of eternal life is Jesus Christ, and only Jesus Christ. There can be no other. He is the one who saves. Now, talking of saved people, those who have trusted Christ, the next verse goes on to say, now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw. Now you'll notice that there are six materials mentioned in that verse, and they're in two groups of three. The first group is gold, silver, precious stones. And we notice that that particular group are not only valuable, but they would pass through fire. The second group, wood, hay, straw, is invaluable, not worth much, and is going to be burnt by fire. So then the next verse explains about these materials. Each one's work will become clear, for the day, that is the day of this judgment, will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, because this is talking to Christians, yet so as through fire. Good works will survive the fire of the judgment seat of Christ if you are a Christian and receive a reward. Worthless works done by Christians will burn in the fire, and no reward will be received. Doing good does not count for getting you into heaven. I hope we've made that clear today. But once in heaven, doing good does count for reward. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 summarizes. It says, for we must all of us Christians, must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. The we there, of course, does refer to Christians. The letter was written to Christians. Us Christians will be at the judgment seat of Christ. The rest, all the rest, will be before that terrible white throne judgment where there is a judgment of condemnation. And those that are there are cast into that lake of fire for eternity. Oh, flee the wrath to come. Make sure that you trust Christ as your own Saviour from sin. John chapter 1 and verse 12 says, but as many as received him, To as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe on his name. Then, having trusted Christ, live for him each day, because in living for him each day you will have great reward. Hebrews 10:35 says, "Therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." If you're a Christian, keep going. There is a reward at the end for you. The Christian life begins by faith, and each day the Christian life is lived by faith. Faith is the only way to please the Lord in heaven. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." By faith. We're saved by faith. We live by faith. I'd like you to consider Michael Jackson. Was he a man of faith? No, Michael Jackson never said that he was a Christian. And he certainly did not have the good works that follows faith to give any indication that we would expect to see Michael Jackson in heaven. But consider this video clip.
So where's Michael now?
You know, I believe he is up in heaven having a dance battle with James Brown right now as we speak. I know that right now Michael's definitely singing with the angels.
Were you shocked by his death?
Oh, I was numbed by his death.
Did his death shock you?
Very much so. Devastated.
Does death shock you?
Oh yeah, his death shocked me. When I found out, I didn't believe it at first.
Shocked me?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
For some odd reason, I always thought that Michael Jackson was immortal.
Terribly devastating.
Yeah, it happened so fast that we weren't expecting it at all.
Yeah, hearing about his death really kind of made me think that, you know, we're all kind of living to die at some point.
Did it make you think about your own death?
Nah.
Did it remind you of your own mortality?
Not really.
To be honest, no.
Are you afraid of dying?
No.
Absolutely. Absolutely. None of us are guaranteed a day. So, yeah.
You don't take things for granted and stuff, and life is just so short, you never know what's going to happen.
Where did he go to?
A better place.
Where's that? New Zealand? Are you afraid to die?
In a way, yes.
No, I'm not. I am afraid of dying because, to be honest, I don't know what's going to happen in the afterlife.
Me personally, I'm not afraid of it. I have accepted that as a part of life.
So what do you think happens after death, Antoine?
Who knows?
Well, God knows.
There is one.
Okay, now, are you going to heaven when you die?
I believe so, yeah.
So where are you going when you die?
I hope that I will be going to heaven.
Are you a good person?
I'm a very good person. Yes.
Yes, I am. I'd like to think I'm a good person.
How do you know if you're good?
Because you can feel it in your heart.
Are you a good person?
So am I.
You are?
Yeah.
I definitely think that, you know, in God's eyes, that I'm a great person.
Me?
Yeah.
I don't know. Only God should judge that.
Would you like to find out?
Sure, bring it on.
There's only one way to know if you're good or not. Do you know what it is?
Tell me.
Look at the Ten Commandments for a couple of minutes and see if you've kept them. How many lies have you told in your life?
Oh, many.
So many I can't even count.
How many lies? Lies?
Countless. So what do you call someone who tells lies?
Liar? A liar.
A liar.
You've never stolen anything in your whole life, even if it's small, irrespective of its value.
Yes, I have. Yes?
Yes, I actually had a bad shoplifting problem when I was about 14.
What do you call someone who steals things?
A thief.
A stealer.
You call them a thief?
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
I have.
Yes.
Yeah? Yeah, that's blasphemy. Now, Jesus said if you look with lust, you commit adultery in the heart. Have you ever done that?
Yes.
Yeah?
I have. No. Yes.
So if God judges you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
I think I will be guilty.
I think at this point I'd be innocent.
By that interpretation, guilty.
Heaven or hell?
Hell?
Does that concern you?
No.
you die in your sins and God gives you justice, you'll end up in hell. The Bible makes that very clear. There's a place of punishment for people like Hitler and murderers and rapists and thieves and liars and fornicators and blasphemers. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? The Bible warns there is a way that seems right to man, but the end of that way is death. And that's the way of thinking, all you have to do is say you're sorry to God. If you transfer that to civil law, and you've violated civil law, and you say, Judge, I raped that woman and I murdered her, but I'm real sorry. He's not going to let you go because he's bound by law to do that which is right. Okay, now God is the same, but God's rich in mercy, and he provided a way for sinners to be forgiven. Now this is the story.
Okay, I'm ready.
You violated God's law, the Ten Commandments. In God's eyes, you're a criminal. He's a judge. But Jesus came and paid our fine. That means God can legally dismiss our case because of the suffering, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in doing so, he paid the fine for the law that you broke. That means God can legally dismiss our case because the fine was paid 2,000 years ago through the suffering, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
But what you have to do in response to the death and resurrection of the Savior is repent and trust alone in him. Don't trust your goodness. Most people try, I'm a good person, I'll make it to heaven. You can't buy everlasting life through your good works. The way of salvation is that God gives eternal life to those that are guilty and admit their sin. It's by God's grace alone. And that's the gospel truth. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. You're absolutely right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
When I think about Michael Jackson, my first thought is, was he right with God? As a Christian, that's going to be my top question. Where is he going to be for eternity?
Would you like to be buried in something like this?
No. I don't ever want to be buried.
Really?
No.
Well, what would you like to happen to you?
I would like to live forever.
Forever.
Death ultimately comes to each of us because we're sinners. And the Bible says the soul that sins, it shall die. The real reason each of us will one day die is because we've sinned against God. We have an appointment to keep with death. God freely offers us an alternative. Please think about your eternal salvation. There's nothing more important than where you'll spend eternity.
The verse quoted at the end of that little video clip was John 11 and verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Belief is the key. You must believe in Jesus Christ. You must see all your own efforts as worthless, and Jesus' death for you as priceless. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Then you'll be flying first class and not deserve it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that your Spirit might be working in people's lives. And I pray, Lord, that you might be drawing some to yourself in this moment. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone who has seen their sin for the first time and wants to flee to the Savior for forgiveness of their sin, that they would do it right now. Perhaps if you would like to trust Christ as your Savior, you would like to pray these words after me. Just pray quietly where you are. Dear Lord Jesus, I am sorry that I have sinned against you. I thank you for taking my punishment on the cross. I thank you for rising from the dead to give me new life. I thank you for your promise that as I believe in you, you will make me a part of your family. and take me to be with you forever in heaven. Lord, I want to give you my life. Here it is. I turn from my sin and my past, and at this moment I want to live for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today and you meant it for the first time, I'd love you to come and chat with me. I'd like to give you some more materials and help you to know how you can live the Christian life.